Okay, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. We're continuing. This is actually the last message in this mini-series, but which is in the whole series, of Stewarding Our Treasures, part 3. Stewarding Our Treasures. So Proverbs 3, 9, and I'm going to read the verse I read last week as well, Luke 6, 38. So Proverbs 3, 9, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. I'll read the message version. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. And then Luke 6, 38, give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they'll pour into your lap, for by your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you in return. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for already such a full service, Lord. We thank you, God, for our babies, Lord. We thank you for just waking us up this morning, bringing us here to the house of God so that we can be with one another, God, that we can hear about India and the amazing things that you're doing there, God. And now we come humbly, God, before your word, and we ask you to speak to us through it, God. To that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach a prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we're going to start with some platitudes that we've been sharing all throughout. The first one I want to give to you is really simple. You can never outgive God. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. Say, you can never outgive God. Right? Remember, we said last week, God does not need our money. If God needed our money, then the kingdom of God is in big trouble. But yet, God asks us to give. And so maybe the giving is not for his sake. The giving is actually for our sake. So first things first. So today, I want to talk about the tithe. Talk about first things. And I think it's really important that we understand this. Being first is so much cherished in our culture, right? We all want to be first. This will not surprise many of you, but I grew up hyper competitive. To this day, I have a younger brother. He's actually taller than me. My younger brother is 6'1", and we're both pretty decent athletes, and we've competed since we were little kids. And I'm proud to say that, you know, in my 57 years now, I've never lost a game to my brother. This is true. I've never lost. It could be any sport, you name it. I've never lost to my brother, but I have a secret. Because I'm older than my brother, if I ever was close to losing, I would cheat. And you know, sadly, I'm not really sad to say that, but I just cheated. And we played basketball. You know, we had a typical American family. We had a basketball hoop on our driveway. You know, we had a big 3-car driveway. And we would play every day, all day long. And always we played one-on-one. And then if my brother got close to winning, we'd say, okay, we're going to play to 11. And then if he got to 10, oh, we're playing to 15. And if he got to 14, we're playing to 21. Right, and so on and so forth until I won, and then my brother would try to do the same thing. He said, okay, no, we're going to play to 25. And then what I used to do, I used to take the ball, I used to kick it right across the street and run into the house, right, and lock the door in my room so he couldn't get me and things like that. So we like to be first. All right, this is a huge thing in our life. We're first to the finish line. I just, on the flight coming back here from Delhi, I watched Fly Me to the Moon. And so if you guys, it's a new movie, it's a pretty good movie. But, you know, this whole thing, we want to be first to the moon and all these things that take place. Well, I want you to know God also prizes first things as well. God also cherishes first things. There is a supernatural element attached to giving God our first things as well. Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, so I'll just come around again. Giving to the Lord was an institution from the first family. Now, you may have heard some pastors or you know, on YouTube or something, and they talk about giving and tithing, and they say, oh, that's old covenant stuff. You know, we're now under the new covenant, and so we don't have to abide by the old covenant. Brothers and sisters, don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. Giving to the Lord, especially, I'm going to make this kind of a case here, giving the Lord your first tenth was before any covenant. It was a natural response from the people of God to the God who gave them everything. Giving an offering to the Lord was an institution from the first family. It's something that the people of God did from the beginning, right? It goes way beyond old covenant, new covenant thinking. Last week we talked about Cain and Abel. Let me share a different one with you today. Now, after Jacob has his dream, he sensed that he was in a very special place. So he called that place Bethel, or Bethel, which means the house of God. And so when he gets his dream, and then after he has his encounter with God, this is Genesis 28, verse 22. Look what he says. So he lays a stone. He says, "This stone, which I've set up as a pillar, will be God's house, Bethel. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Notice what Jacob's saying. Again, this is before the old covenant, all these things. He says, "Lord, I had this incredible experience with you. I know that you're God. I know that you're real. You're in my life. I just experienced you." And then his human response to the God who gave him everything, he says very simply, he says, "All that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Now, in the Old Testament, there are actually three tithes. And so we're not going to go through that right now because that is old covenant thinking, okay? So just so you understand, that's old covenant thinking. And so we are in the new covenant here. But you have to realize, going all the way back, this was before even the covenants came to us. And so what happens is we're introduced to the idea of giving God the very first, but the first tenth. The tithe, and what this means is 10%, or obviously one-tenth. The key, though, is not just 10%. The key is it's the first 10%. So the tithe means the first, right? And it also means the best. And so that's the idea. It's the first tenth. And so let me give you the primary text. It's in Genesis chapter 14. I'll read this for you, 17 through 20. Okay, I need to take one step back. Now, I know many of us come from a lot of different church backgrounds, and you've been taught a lot of different things. It may be very similar to what I'm teaching today. It may be very different. What I want you to do for the next 40 minutes or so, 30 minutes, I already started, about 30 minutes, and I want you to kind of suspend your judgment a little bit and just kind of listen and just interact with God's word. All right, let it not be my words, let it be God's words, and then you can make a decision after that. Is that fair? Does that make sense? Okay, let me read this. Genesis 14, 17 to 20. "Then after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shavah, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram, the God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And he gave him a tenth of all." Now, Melchizedek, if you just kind of, we notice that this name actually comes out in the New Testament. He is considered a type of Christ, right? He's the high priest of Salem, which is what we basically would call Jerusalem, is the idea. And so he receives a blessing from Melchizedek because he's confronted with a very dire situation. And so Melchizedek basically gives him a blessing and basically says, you're going to be okay, man. Right? You don't have to fear these kings. You're going to be fine. I know what's against you, but you're going to be okay. And he's so encouraged by this. And again, the natural human response to God's blessing was to give a tenth, was to give a gift, the first tenth in this way. Now, let me talk about 10 a little bit. 10, biblically, when we see this, is the number of redemption. It's the number of perfection. It represents harmony and represents creation. What the tenth is, and you got to understand, the Bible is written in a lot of numbers. The numbers is a huge part of this. Why this is important, because it's the symbolic combination of the number 4, which is the world around us, and the number 6, which is human beings. And so when we talk about completion and creation, that's what it is. It's everything that's created, which is 4, and then us as human beings, which is 6. And this is kind of put these together. Together, what this represents, it symbolizes man on earth who need to abide by God's law in order to have a chance at a new beginning. And so we are man, we're in creation, but we need God in order to live this full life that God has in store for us. And so we see all the 10 is so prominent in the scriptures. There's 10 commandments. There's the 10 virgins, the 10 lepers. There are the 10 plagues of Egypt and the 10 degrees of the sun. In the book of Genesis, the term God said is repeated 10 times. Jesus' ministry is 3 years of 33 years. Do the math, that's 10%. Jesus was selected to take the sins of the world on the 10th day of the month. This is what's called the Day of Atonement. How many years did the Jews spend in Egypt? 400 years. We know this. Genesis 15:13 tells us 400 years. And how many years were they in the wilderness? 40, 10%. Right? In other words, you can think about this. The Jews spent a tithe in the wilderness to learn the ways of God. I heard a preacher say this. It was a few days to get Israelites out of Egypt. It took 40 years to get Egypt out of the Israelites. God says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Pharaoh says no, and God releases 10 plagues. Now, if you understand the history, each of those plagues actually represented an idol or a god that the Egyptians worshipped. The frogs, the gnat, the Nile River, obviously Ra, Pharaoh's own son. And so, now, think about this. 9 of them do not affect the Israelites at all. In fact, they were not meant to. 9 of them have no effect on the Israelites. The 10th plague has no effect if you participate. This is really important. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Hey, good looking, if you participate." Go ahead. That's really important to understand. Okay? So, Pharaoh says no. God releases 10 plagues. 9 of them do not affect Israel at all, but the 10th plague requires the people of God to participate. That's really important, right? We need to participate in this whole thing. In other words, the Jews needed to take a lamb, a spotless lamb, take the blood and put it on the doorposts of their home, and then the angel of death passed by. That's why, you know, we call it Passover. It's so powerful because literally that's what happens. It just passes over us. And so judgment and death. And that's what Christ did for us. Because he died for us, death, judgment passes over every single one of us. It's this beautiful picture here. And so, they needed to participate. And when they participated, the 10th was redeemed. Do you see that? It's really simple. Brothers and sisters, every single one of us, we are blessed with redemption. We're blessed with gifts. We're blessed with blessings. We're blessed with vocation. You are blessed to be a blessing. It's important that we understand this. Now, what God, he's giving us all these things, and God says, you get all this stuff, but I want you to participate. Again, important. I want you to participate. And you say, Lord, how can I participate? And he says, give the first tenth. The first tenth, he says, belongs to him. This is what some of you guys remember Juanita, my intercessor, our church intercessor for years. And as I shared earlier on the series, you know, the reason, if you notice, the announcer comes and it says it's offering time. And some of us, you know, some of us get really excited. Oh, yeah, it's offering time. Some of us were used to doing it, you know, so it's like a ritual. But I told you, when I was at her church, this is years ago, and her church is primarily senior citizens, you know, all probably in their 70s, and, you know, I mean, really old people and stuff. And then as soon as the pastor came up to give the offering and said it's offering time, I'm talking, these old people stood up, cheering, clapping. Some of them tried to jump. They couldn't really get that high. But they had made an attempt. They were so happy because they knew it was a joy to give to the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver. It's so important for us to understand this, and that's why we do it. And so I used to talk to Juanita a lot about this, and I never forget, she sat me down one day, and I just said, okay, you know, your church spends a lot of time in this area, teach me, tell me. And this is all she says. She says, Sam, you didn't know there's a difference between tithes and offerings. The tithe belongs to God. It doesn't belong to you. It's not yours. In fact, let me read the text here. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, Malachi 3, 8, this is what he says. Will a man rob God? You are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. And so he says, right, in other words, the tithe, that belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to us. And so offerings, okay, I'm going to get ahead of myself. The tithe belongs to the Lord. If you're not tithing, the Bible clearly says you're robbing God, right? Because that's not yours. That belongs to, in fact, it all belongs to the Lord, but he gives us control over 90% of it. 10%, he says, the first tenth, he says, God says, give it to me. You have control over the 90%. In other words, some people ask me, Pastor Sam, can I divide up my tithe? Can I take 3% and give it here? And can I take 2% and give it here? And I say, no, you can't. It doesn't belong to you. You have no control over this. The 90% you have control over. You can decide to give, you know, a certain amount to missions or like India. Maybe you're blessed and you want to help pay for that new roaster. And so that's part of your offering. And so maybe you want to give to Christian organizations like Care for Children, you know, or FCA. Those are the ones I'm committed to. But you can, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different ones out there, right? You know, and so, but you can choose. That's offering. The tithe is not yours. In fact, it's all not yours. But God graciously allows you to have control over 90%. That's where you get, the tithe has nothing to do with you. You just give. Because it belongs to the Lord. And the issue is about control. As we talked about last week, mammon, remember we talked about the spirit of mammon, mammon wants you to think that you're in control, wants you to accumulate as much so you have a sense of control. And the tithe is one of these ways that we relinquish control. And we say, Lord, I trust you in this way. The tithe gets you in good graces with God. Now you've not sinned. Now you've not robbed from God. It just gets you face to face with God. The blessing and overflow actually comes from offering. It comes from what you give above and beyond the tithe. And this is, you know, to charity, to, you know, a lot of different things that we do, but that's really what it's about. Right? It's really about control. Now, the offering also belongs to God, but you get to decide where it is used. You know, to missions or the vision fund or to charity or a Christian organization, or just simply giving to your friends, or giving to your house church members, or something to that effect, giving to someone in need. That's what offering is about. Now, let me do a quick little lesson to just explain this a little bit bigger by using Jesus in the middle. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to make a case for you that Jesus was God's tithe. Let me explain. In Exodus 13, verse 2, it says, "Sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast, it belongs to me." There he goes again. It's the first. Again, the emphasis on first. The first is given. Every offspring born of the womb, this includes us as human beings, all right, the sons of Israel, both man and beast, it belongs to me. God declares that the firstborn is his. He declares it over 16 times in the Bible. In Exodus 13, 12 to 13, I'll read this. "That you shall devote to the Lord the first offspring of every womb and the first offspring of every beast that you own. The males belong to the Lord, but every offspring of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. But if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck, and every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." So the first is either sacrificed or it's redeemed. This is the Old Testament law. The firstborn was either sacrificed or redeemed. Every time one of your livestock animals delivers its firstborn, you were to sacrifice it. Or if it was designated as unclean, like that donkey, or something that was like a spot, or it was tarnished in some way, then you replace that, right? And you sacrifice that instead. In other words, you redeemed it by sacrificing something else. So the clean firstborn was sacrificed. The unclean firstborn was redeemed. In other words, something else took its place. Now, John 1:29, right, is announced, and John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Brothers and sisters, that was a huge, powerful, prophetic statement. It was huge because Jesus is God's firstborn. Think about this. Jesus was clean and spotless in every way. We are sinners, every single one of us, born unclean. And so what happens? We were redeemed. Christ was sacrificed. He was sacrificed to redeem us. It could actually be very accurately said that Jesus was really a first fruit offering. Jesus was given in faith, and this is also how we should give in faith. Right, Romans 5:8 tells us, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that we, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Right? His gift, right, really was his tithe. God gave his tithe. He gave Jesus in faith before any single one of us ever believed. We give our first fruit offerings in the same way before we see the blessings of God. Brothers and sisters, this is why tithing is so important. It basically says, "God, I recognize you as first in my life. I'm trusting you to take care of the rest." It's again, the first redeems the rest. The first 10% redeems the 90% of it. And so okay, you say, "All right, Peace Sam, all right, I'm convinced. You got me there, okay? Hopefully you are." Well, how do I do this? How do I go about this? I have three very simple points on how we should give. Okay, ready? Number one. You give when you receive. It's by faith. Don't store it up, right? You give when you receive. If you're paid weekly, give weekly. If you're paid monthly, give monthly. If you're paid yearly, give yearly. You get the idea, right? It's faith. When it comes in, it goes out because it doesn't belong to me. It's such a simple principle. Giving, right, is really an act of worship. It's part of the worship service. Worship is not just the three or four songs that we sing. This whole service is worship. You listening to the Word of God is a part of worship. You giving is an act of worship. You know, I hope we can move into a bigger facility. Just, to be honest, just so we could do this. And my friend's church does this, and I'm really like, you know, Pastor Brian, I really love this. And how they do offering is they have the families come up. There's a box on the front. They bring the box up to the stage, and families come in and together with their children, and they come and they just take their gift and they just lay it into the box. You know, and now with technology, I know people don't give envelopes. So they bring their phones. I've seen this. They bring their phones and they tap their phone, you know, onto the box, you know, Venmo or whatever they do in this way. And it's just such a beautiful part of this whole, our whole family is coming together and we're trusting God and we're giving to the Lord. Obviously, our space restrictions, you know, I mean, you think our services are long. Can you imagine if we did that now? Right? It'd be so much longer. And I need as much time as I can get for my preaching, okay? And so, it's pretty amazing. Giving is an act of worship. And so when you give, and I know some of you guys give electronically and these things, but if you're old school like me and give through the envelope, right, jot your name down. It's not that it's about taking credit for this or any way, and it's not, you know, about tax considerations and these things. But it's important in many ways. You know, I know some people are saying, well, you know, the Bible says don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So I want to tell you, that's one of the most misunderstood passages in the Bible, right? The key is, right, Jesus is dealing with our motives. He's not dealing with the way you go about doing it. It always comes back to the motives, right? Just like in prayer and in fasting, right? We should always give glory to God, not so that we can be seen by others. It's a motives. It's what we call inner moral righteousness versus outer formal righteousness. And so some people say, well, you know, P. Sam, if I don't do that, if I put my name down or if I take credit for this, won't I lose my reward? I say, no, you won't. You know, Luke 21, verse 1 through 4, you know, the story of the widow's mite, if you remember this story, right? Think about this. Jesus was so close to the offering basket, you know, or, you know, the treasury there, that he could actually see what people were giving. And he took note that the woman would give these two, remember we talked about these two little leptas. It's like feather-like, made no sound. These small copper coins made no sound in the treasury while the other leaders were coming in and dropping coin and making a huge sound. And these things, but you know, listen, she was noticed, and in fact, Jesus made mention of this to everyone, so her gift was very much noticed ever around. Notice she didn't lose her reward at all. In fact, Jesus commended her publicly in this way. Her donation, though it was given in private, right, he made her donation public. Did she lose her reward? No, she didn't. In fact, she gained a greater reward because it's not what you think. Jesus is really dealing with the motives of our hearts, right? Remember the prayer, fasting, giving in Matthew. It's all one block of teaching. Now, I would say in the same way, do you also only pray in secret? No, of course not, right? You pray out loud in public, right? Do you only fast in secret? Of course not. We're going to fast, right, in about a month. It's December 1. It's coming around the corner, right? Right? In a month, we're going to be fasting all together for 21 days. And so, and also in that same way, don't let the enemy trick you into not giving, right, by kind of random scriptures that are misunderstood. And so you give when you receive. Number two, you give what you receive, right? Whatever you receive, you give, right? You give your salary, right? You get your bonus, you know, you get your investment income or whatever it may be. That's what you give, right? If you did this all by yourself, then by no means don't give anything, right? If you really think that, man, I just did this all by myself, right? My job, You know, I have incredible investment strategies, and so I just did this all by myself. By all means, hoard and keep all that you got, right? I mean, just if that's where you're at, like, by all means, please live your life in that way, right? And, you know, and let's see what happens. But if you believe that God helped you, if you believe that God helped you with your job, getting your job, that God gave you brain cells so you can do your job well, right? If God gave you opportunities and all kinds of different things, if you believe that, then by all means you give. It's a sign of gratefulness and gratitude to the Lord. So give, right? Give when you receive, give what you receive. And the last one, number three, give where you are fed, right? Now, we're talking about the tithe here. You give where you are fed. Whatever church you go to, this is the place where you should tithe, right? Now, you can give to parachurch ministries. You can give to other churches. I think that's you should do that, right? The key being generosity in this way, right? But you should give to the church that you attend. Right, you should give to the church, right, where you're fed. In the Old Testament, right, in the same way the temple, right, was to be taken care of. And then some of you might say, well, P-Sam, you know, I don't trust my church. I don't trust my church, right? I'm not going to give to them. Well, I would simply say, number one, you're not giving to your church. You're giving to God because it belongs to Him. I mean, that's a huge part. And number two, if you don't trust your church, go find a different church. I mean, it's just a no-brainer, right? If you don't trust your church to handle God's finances, then you belong in the wrong place. Why would you be in this place? I'm not talking about this place. I'm just talking in general. Why would you be in a church that you don't trust their people? It just doesn't make any sense. You should definitely find a new church, right? I'm not kicking you out, okay? Because I've had my words misconstrued many, many, many times, okay? I'm not kicking you out. I'm just saying that you should be able to give freely in the church that you attend. If you don't trust the church you attend, go find another trustworthy church. It's such a no-brainer in this way. And so, it's really, really important. You know, over the years, and we abide by this principle, over the years, I've had many people that were, you know, they got saved at SP, they got baptized here, you know, they got married here, they dedicated their kids here, you know, they went through the whole shebang, you know, and in the midst of this, they would move to another country, and they would say, oh, P-Sam, can I still tie to SP Hong Kong? And I would say, no. What? Have you not listened to any messages, you know, that I've given you all over these years? You give to the church where you go to. You give to the church where you're fed, right? Don't give money. I mean, if you want to give above your tithe in these things, then, yeah, by all means, that's fine. You know, or there's some missionary that you still support, you know, that's part of SP or something. By all means, please do that. But you give to the place where you're fed. It's just really, really simple. You know, and this is not an exact science, but roughly, we just kind of crunched some numbers together. Roughly, at SP, about 63%, 64% around that ballpark at SP Hong Kong actually tithe. And so, you know, some people can look at that and say, wow, that's a pretty big number. You know, I look at that and say, there's almost 40% of us that are robbing God. You know, and so I think there's something happening there, right, that needs to be remedied in some way. And so, but this is the heart of God through all this, right? God wants to entrust riches to you. Luke 16, 10, 11. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? Brothers and sisters, you can never outgive God. God's heart, right, is to bring blessings, to be a blessing in your life. And all that simply God is just looking for people, right, whom he can trust. Matthew 25, verse 29. Matthew 25:29. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does not have shall be taken away. And you think, wow, that's pretty unfair. It's actually not. In God's perspective, it would be unfair to give to someone who is not trustworthy. It's such a simple thing. You know, many years ago, when I was a single person, my nephew, my sister, my brother-in-law, their family actually lived with me for a few years. It was supposed to be for a few months, ended up being a few years. They moved in, and my little nephew, Matthew, we had so much fun together. And my nephew Matthew, he loves Skittles. You know those little candy? He loves Skittles. And so I would buy him Skittles all the time to the chagrin of my sister. You know, that's what uncles do, right? We just feed them bad food. And so I would give him Skittles all the time, and I just given him a bag of Skittles, and I had so many more Skittles to give to him. I mean, I was just waiting for him. And so I just said, "Hey, Matthew, you have so many Skittles. Can I have one?" You know, and at that time, actually what happened was he had like three in each hand, right? And he had almost finished the bag. And so, but I had more Skittles in my pocket that I wanted to just, bam, lay it on him. And so I put him to the test. And he had these you know, three Skittles in each hand. And I said, "Matthew, can I get one of those Skittles?" And Matthew looked at me, and he looked at the Skittles in his hand. And he went, "Sorry, Uncle Sam, I don't have any anymore." I was so disappointed. I looked at him and I said, "Matthew, who paid for those Skittles? Who gave you those Skittles?" "I did. I gave these to you. In fact, I have so much more that I want to give to you." And I said, "Can you give me one?" And he said, "No." I didn't give him more Skittles. I know that's such a silly illustration. God has given us so much, amen. He's given us so, so much. Everything that we have belongs to him. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. And think about this. And then God says, amongst this abundance that I've given you, can I have one? Can I have a tenth? And then of all this other stuff, can you give to the poor? Can you give to missionaries? Right? Can you give on trips? Can you give to charities? And can you imagine what that's like? We're like that little kid and we say, "No. I'm going to eat it all by myself." And God says, "Wow. All right." Just moves on to the next person. "Can you give me one? Of all that I've given to you, can you give me one?" Let's close our eyes. Stewarding our treasures. We're not preaching this. You have to hear my heart. We're not preaching this so we can have more money in the church. Brothers and sisters, it's not about that. This is about your welfare. This is about your relationship with God. Some of us are robbing God of all the stuff that he's given to you, of all the blessings, and he says, "Can you give me one? Can you give me one? Can you give me the first tenth?" And the audacity of his people to say, "No! It's mine." And he says, "Of all this, of the 90%, can you give some to the poor? Can you give some to the needy?" And the audacity of God's people say, "No, it's mine." So childish, I know. But it's a wrestle, because money is powerful. Wealth and possessions is spiritual. There are more passages in the Bible about wealth and possessions than about prayer. even of salvation. And the Lord wants to move and minister into your heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Are you generous? Do you recognize God's generosity to you? And are you being generous to God? See, this is one of those things where this is actually quantifiable. All I have to look is in your bank account. God wants you to be free from the spirit of mammon. And the only way that happens is to learn to give. Lord, we come humbly before you. Teach us to be a generous community. Lord, we entered into December. Lord, it was Christmas season. It's the time of giving. Help us, God, to be a generous church, not just to ourselves, but to others, especially those in need. It's also the time of the Lord's Supper. I want to invite the ushers to come. And if you've not received the elements when you walked into this room, you can raise your hands and you'll get one. Let me read from the scriptures. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." So the Lord reminds us to come to his table regularly, and to come to his table reverently. And so as the team leads us in a song of worship, I want to invite you to go before the Lord. And if there's any business that you need to take care of, that the Spirit of God is convicting you of something, maybe even in this area of giving, and you feel the conviction of the Lord, deal with it with God in this time. And then we'll come together and we'll take the Lord's Supper together as a family.
All to Jesus I surrender.
The elements, you can open them up. Let's hold in our hands preciously. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Lord, you are the greatest giver of all. Lord, you demonstrated your great love for us that even while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ was given in faith before we even believed. Lord, he was the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lord, he was your tithe, the firstborn, perfect sacrifice so that we can be redeemed. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that you gave your Son for us. And Lord, for the rest of our days, we acknowledge that sacrifice by living for you, by giving to you. Help us, Jesus. Let's take together. This is Christ's body broken for you, and this is a blood new covenant poured out for you. Let's stand to our feet and let's sing this before the Lord.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Jesus, holy thine. Let me feel. I surrender all to Jesus. Lord, I give myself to you. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on. I surrender all.
We didn't sing, we surrender some. We said we surrender all. Lord, every good and perfect gift, every good thing that we have has come from you. Lord, and we acknowledge your goodness. We acknowledge the grace that you give into our lives by simply giving. Lord, it's the way we defeat the dastardly, Lord, plot of the enemy in the area of mammon. And so help us, God. Lord, we surrender everything. It all belongs to you. It all belongs to you, God. Thank you for allowing us to steward 90% of that, God. Lord, to feed our families, to take care of our loved ones, to help the poor and the lost and needy in this world. We thank you, God. Use us, Lord. Let SP be a generous community, God. We thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom. from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Please, as you leave, buy as much blessed, prayed-for coffee, right, as you exit. And if you need any prayer, our well ministers will pray for you. All right, God bless you guys.